your Bibles, if you would please, this evening, and open up to Genesis chapter number 2 in the Word of God tonight. Genesis and chapter number 2 in the Word of God this evening. Genesis chapter number 2. And as you find your place here, I just want to remind you that here on Sunday nights, we're going to be going through a series entitled Family Matters. Family Matters. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at this series here in Family Matters, and we're going to be dealing with the home over the next several weeks. Now, let me just brag on some folks today, and this was really amazing. Pastor Chris, you have to think of the young lady who we almost baptized accidentally. Her name was, say it again, Jenna. I don't know if Jenna is here this evening. Jenna, are you here? You may not be, and if it's okay, if you are not, but Jenna, I'll talk about Jenna here in just a moment, but as we talk about the family, as we talk about family matters, as we talk about the home for a little bit, I'd just like to kind of brag on some folks this day before we even get started into this series. First of all, I am appreciative of those who have laid a path before me, those who have walked, those who have preached. I love preachers. I love being around preachers. I listen to preaching just about every day of my life. It's what I've been called to do. I enjoy it. I just love it. And I love families that have spiritually speaking, been successful in having just a wonderful church and a foundation, but then also raising kids that love the Lord and are godly. And today is, I do believe, I'm saying this correctly, the 57th wedding anniversary of Pastor Defoe and his wife. Is that correct? 57 years, Pastor. And I'm telling you what, let's give them a big hand this evening, would you? Now, again, teenagers, now listen, young kids, I want all the kids to look at me for just a moment, okay? Now watch, all the kids, if you're a kid, look up here for just a minute. You don't need to take notes. Put your crayons down for just a moment. Now watch. Understand that these are the type of examples that you need to have in your life. Find men and women like this that you can look up to. Find men and women like this that are faithful to God and faithful to His house. Look, I understand there's a lot of talk today about Steph Curry and next year they're going to rebuild and Klay Thompson's supposed to be, he's supposed to be awesome. He's going to be good. There's a lot of talk because LeBron James got out in the first round, which I was kind of glad about. But nonetheless, he got out. And man, we're looking up to all these different people today. Even listen now, one of the biggest Instagram stars that we have, one of the biggest followings there are on TikTok and others, are all of these sports stars. And or those like Taylor Swift and others that the world is looking up to. They're idolizing. Ooh, I want to be like that. Oh, I want their money. Oh, you know, as 10 years ago or so, the Kardashians were the big family. And oh, if we could just have what they have and be like them. And understand, the whole world is chasing something that is very temporary. It's only here for a short while. Really, it's godless in a lot of ways. It has nothing to do with eternity. While we do idolize or maybe appreciate sports figures or those who are out there and successful, I am thankful for men and women like the Defoe family that it's not always been easy, but they have stuck by the stuff. They've been in it. They truly have laid a foundation that many of us that are younger can look up to. And I just want to say, Pastor, thank you so much. And Mrs. Defoe, thank you so much. I really believe behind every good preacher is an incredible lady. If you believe that, say amen. And I'm telling you, Mrs. Defoe, you've been just a wonderful lady through the ages. And I've only known you for 6 weeks, but truly, I love y'all dearly and praise the Lord for you. Now, who were we talking about again? It was Jenna. Jenna. I don't think Jenna's here. So, Jenna, are you here? Raise your hand. You're not here. Jenna, you are here. You're so awesome. You're trying to hide back there. You're not going to get away. As we talk about family, now, kids, look up here. Teenagers, look. There's nothing going on Facebook. Check it out right here for just a second. Now, I want you to look. We're going to be talking about the home, and one of these nights we're going to be dealing with just the kids. Dun, 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 dun. It's going to be amazing, and you're going to love it. I'm not going to talk about the kids tonight, but I will tell you this. We always talking about, whether it's in school or whether it's in the home, being obedient. Let's be obedient. Obedience is the very best way. And blah, blah, blah. We sing songs about it. Obedience, obedience. I'm here to tell you that Jenna is someone that you can look up to in obedience. True story happened just this morning. Pastor Chris and I had the biggest laugh about it. And I almost made probably one of the biggest blunders of my life being in the pastorate. I came in today and we're getting stuff ready and we're running around. And boy, there's a lot going on this morning, Pastor Chris. And man, we're running around and getting stuff set up. Pastor Blake's over here. We're getting everything ready for these, the donuts. And I just praise the Lord for Darlene and Eric doing a great job of the donuts and the coffee. And we're running around. And I knew I had to baptize. So I had to baptize, you remember, Emma this morning. And so I knew that Emma, I've only met her probably a couple times. I had a conversation with her. But I'm telling you, Jenna and Emma look a whole lot alike in my mind. And it was probably 5 minutes before go time. And I ran up and I said, Emma, are you ready? And I think I said it fast. I said, Emma, are you ready for today? And Jenna is who I was talking to, said, yes, I'm ready. I said, okay, you got your stuff ready? Do you want to put it in? She goes, yes. I said, all right, follow Pastor Chris, and I'm going to run. I forgot what I was doing. I had to run to go do something else. I said, Pastor Chris, can you unlock the door? Make sure we can get in back there. Pastor Chris goes. Jenna follows Pastor Chris. And they come all the way to this door. And Pastor Chris has no idea what's going on. Finally, he gets over here, and he says, are you following me? And she says, yes. He goes, why? And she goes, Pastor Shepherd told me to. So I get back there and I am totally confused. Pastor Chris goes, oh, what do you need with her? And I said, well, I'm going to baptize her today. And Jenna's like, I'm not getting baptized. I'm like, I talked to your mom. You're getting baptized today. I'm telling you, I have never in my life been more confused. Finally, I said, what is your name? It's Jenna. I said, I said Emma. She's like, no, I'm Jenna. Nonetheless, can you imagine the obedience of some teenager in our church? I swear she'd have gone back there and got baptized just because I told her to. I'm telling you, I just want to, let's give Jenna a round of applause tonight, can't we? Man, Jenna, you are awesome. Incredible. Jenna is the one that we want to look up to in obedience. Genesis chapter 2, would you please stand with me for the word of God tonight? Genesis chapter number 2. Brother Matt, do you mind taking these mics and moving them to the side, if you don't mind, while we read this passage of Scripture? Genesis chapter number 2, would you look with me this evening at verse number 24? Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24 is where we're going to be once again this evening. The Bible says this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This evening, as we once again talk in our series here, part two of Family Matters, and we've got to rewind a little bit because of last week with Race Sunday, and we dove into dealing on stress last week, so we've got to get a little bit of a review, which we'll do tonight, but I want us to once again concentrate simply on the subject of the family portrait, this evening. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, so much that we can come in, that we can gather. We can learn about you. Lord, when we talk about the family, I really believe Satan's going to attack. Lord, it is incredible, even 2 weeks ago, the amount of calls that begin to come in. Because, Father, we are simply working on our family. And Satan hates it. He's going to fight it. But God, we will not stop. We cannot stop. We will continue on. Father, be a shield for us. Lord, we need you tonight. Father, whether it's a mom or a dad, a teenager, a young child, as we learn about these things, Lord, help us to set our pride to the side. None of us have arrived when it comes to family. It is something we must continually strive to work at. Lord, I'm thankful for men and women in my life, like Pastor and Mr. Defoe, 57 years, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Savior, for men and women like this that continue to go before us, holding the banner of Jesus Christ high. It just shows us as a younger generation that our marriages are worth fighting for. And our kids are worth dying for. We're not going to give up, Lord. Father, we strive. Sometimes we fail. But Father, remind us that a just man falleth 7 times and getteth up again. We're not going to give up, Lord. Father, give us the words that we need tonight. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We began to look at several weeks ago that all of us, but especially Carrie and I in our home, have what we would call a family portrait that is on our walls. If you were to come in and you were to look at our house, there's around our house each and every year, as Carrie and I have just had our 15th wedding anniversary, each and every year we have taken that family portrait, that family picture each and every year. We hang it up on the wall and folks come in and they look at it and it's beautiful and it's great and wow, it's so gorgeous. And my goodness, you have a wonderful family. And every year we could tell them, oh, we took this here and this was in the mountains. This was in the desert. This place was here. And every year we can watch and kind of see our kids as they get older. And it's just wonderful. It's great. And all of you have those pictures, whether it's on your wall or maybe you're still that generation where you have a picture or two. Remember we used to carry them in our wallets. Maybe you got it still in your wallet. But most would have it on a phone or maybe in or even on a wall. And we look at it. It's beautiful and it's great. We love it. And I fear that oftentimes this is how we view each of us as family units. We come in on Sundays, and that's how we see each other. We're dressed up. Our kids look good. We get out of the car. We're smiles and rainbows and butterflies, and we click our heels, and woo-hoo-hoo, it's another Sunday. And boy, our kids come in, and they sit down, and they behave, and they go to Sunday school class, and they come out, and we're told, wow, your kids are so great, and boy, we just love your family. And kind of that's how we see each other. We don't see each other at home. We don't see each other through the week. We really, honestly, truly don't even see each other as we make our way to church. And sometimes I remember being a kid with seven sisters. That was some of the most painful times. Mom and Dad, you know, telling us kids, you better be good. You better behave. You better not run around the church. If I catch you here, I'm telling them, where are you out? Blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And we're not innocent ourselves. Oftentimes, Harry and I have those conversations with our kids. Now, we get out. We don't want to see you up on the stage. You know, go play the piano. We know you had your recital, and that's wonderful, but we've heard 50 million times. The church doesn't need to hear another 50 million times. Listen, we go through and don't. And what were we doing? We're getting ready so we get out. We are the family unit, the family portrait that we see. And we saw even several weeks ago that that's really how we view each other, even on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter or TikTok or whatever the case might be. That's how we see each other. No one ever posts a bad picture. No one ever posts. I mean, how many times is it amazing? We used to take, listen, teenagers, to this. This is going to blow your mind. We used to have what was called film. Like you literally took film. You put it in a camera. You shut the camera. And you had, whether it was 21 or I think 36 pictures. Or if you were kind of poor, you had 14. And you put it in. And you didn't get to see it. You took the picture. And then you would take it. And you'd have to turn in that film. How many are with me and remember that? Y'all remember that? Yeah, there's a bunch of you remember that. And we'd turn it in. We'd have to wait, I don't know, about a week or 5 days or something. Then you remember 1 hour photo by Kodak came out. I'm telling you, it changed our lives, didn't it? 1 hour photo, and we get those 21 photos back. And look, girls, I'm just here to tell you, if you blinked or if you had a hair blowing in your face, it was too late. It was over. It was done. Nowadays, you take 15 pictures. Everybody looks at the picture. Nope, take it again. Nope, double chin showing. Take it again. Take it again. That says, everybody posts their best pictures. It's how we do it. It's who we are. And we kind of view each other that comparing everyone else's best to our worst. Well, through this series, this Family Matters series, we look at the family portrait. What we're going to begin to do is we're going to begin to get a behind-the-scenes look at the family. We're going to pull back the curtain and we're going to begin to look at that family portrait, because the family portrait did not take place with everybody walking out. Okay, everybody say cheese. Boom, one take. Awesome, we're out of here. No, there was a lot that went into everybody getting the matching outfits and everybody's hair just right. And one kid is always crying and that the husband has the bad attitude. And I don't know anybody else. So I admitted it. Understand. And the bad attitude and the weather's not right. And it's cloudy or we got rain or whatever the case might be. Understand, it took a lot of work to get to where we all smiled, hands by the side. And it looked perfect, great, hanging up on the wall, and everybody just compliments that picture. It did not happen quickly. We have to get behind the scenes once again and begin to look at the family portrait, the family unit, in a way that God would view it. We're going to dig into and get this foundation on the home. The family, once again, listen very carefully, has been redefined in America until there seems to be no absolute standard anymore. In fact, the traditional biblical definition of the home has really become a minority in our nation. Even the most casual observer would have to admit that the American home, the family unit, is in big trouble today. Think about this. Listen very carefully. 24 million children in America, that's one out of three, live in a home without a father. One in three kids are growing up without a male influence in their life. Understand this. 44% of babies born in the U.S., now listen to this, 44% born in the U.S. are born to unmarried mothers. We're almost at one out of two of kids being born in America are born out of wedlock. As many children are being cared for by grandparents as they are single dads. That means this, grandparents, for those of you who have raised kids and now you're in the grandkid stage, understand that there are many grandparents around our nation that are actually raising their grandchildren. In an article titled, "There is no such thing as a typical family," Time magazine went as far as to suggest, listen, and I quote, "Pretty much everyone agrees that the era of the nuclear family with a dad that went to work and a mom that stayed home has declined to the point of no return. A marriage with a mom and dad whose love for each other grows year by year, surrounded by children who are happy and respectful, listen now, is little more than a fairy tale," end quote. Even the world recognizes that the culture of the mom and the dad raising kids, married, raising them up, whether lost or saved, that is behind us. A marriage with a mom and dad whose love for each other grows year by year. What even Time magazine has said, look, that's kind of almost a fairy tale nowadays. So why are we going to take our summer months and why are we going to look at the family? Well, as we begin to study this, there's really two reasons that we're going to in detail look at the home. First of all, most churches, now think about this, most churches promote the family. But our distinctive is that we promote the biblical model for the family. The difference, understand, is becoming very significant. Our confidence in the biblical model for the family demands that we still strive to promote God's plan and help families find the right track to get on. And means this, there's a lot of religions out there that are going to promote the family, but what we're going to promote is the biblical model for the family. And again, that is significant in the fact that, friend, we're not going to compromise on what the Word of God says. You and I are not going to compromise just because it's politically correct or just because, well, now we're in this era where we're really beginning to understand it. We're really, you've heard it so many times, the hashtag woke. And, well, we're really woke nowadays. And so if you don't believe this, well, then you're old school. If you don't believe this, well, you're a bigot. If you don't believe this, well, you're... Friend, listen, you can call us whatever you want to, but the moment that you and I start to compromise the Word of God and begin to follow whatever might be politically correct or whatever might be wokeism or whatever might be, well, the popular demand of the day. Friend, we have compromised on the Word of God. You might as well write Ichabod on the doors and shut it up because we no longer are following the biblical model. And friend, I have no interest in being politically correct or being what everybody tags the day and age, what culturally is correct. Friend, I have great and sincere interest in doing what God says in His Word. If you agree to that, say amen. May you and I never compromise on that. I understand, well, if I go to this church down the street, they're saying this, and they say this, and I heard a televangelist say this, and, well, they took, and they're really modeling what it's like, and real true love, and hashtag real love, and then, look, I'm just a friend. Look, I put it this way, that's great, and there might be some good that comes out of it, but our distinctive is going to be this, we are going to stand with what thus saith the Lord, stand on the Word of God. The second reason is this, because the number of broken homes in our community and within our churches, we do not want to alienate the very people we know we can help. That means this, Crosspoint should reach out to everyone, including the broken homes of the day. I've said it before, and I'm just going to keep preaching and keep preaching. And listen now, watch. That means this, that because we are starting to comprehend what is now, over the last decade, a trend. You catch this? A trend. That means that you and I are not going to keep harping or keep preaching on something that is not culturally relevant. That means this. Watch now. That means this. If the world is defining the family as just individuals, if we have less and less weddings every year, if we're having almost 44% of kids being born today, born out of wedlock, then friend, we're going to keep preaching on the family. Why? Because those are the very people that you and I ought to be reaching. That means this. When somebody comes in those back doors, and maybe they do have kids out of wedlock, that means that we're not sitting there putting our nose in the air, well, thank God that's not me, or nobody in my family, no friend. We don't have this pious look. We are welcoming them into the service of Cross Point Baptist Church. If somebody has been divorced before, that does not mean that they are a second class citizen. That means this, they're saved. They've been born again. They're welcome to serve with you and I. They can be used in a great way. What I'm saying is this, friend, we're not going to preach that, well, thank God we're up here, and boy, I'm so glad I am not down there. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all of our sin. And the moment that you and I start thinking that we're something that we are not, friend, I'm going to tell you, we're going to shoot the Holy Spirit out of this place, and we're not going to be a lighthouse at all. We're just simply going to be a club where everybody's coming in and hanging out. I'm not interested in just patting each other on the back. Look, give honor where honor is due. Of course we believe that. Why don't we take a moment to talk about the Defoes tonight? Of course we should. 57 years, that is incredible. And I praise the Lord for that. Let me tell you something. You talk to Pastor Defoe real quick, he would tell you, it is by the grace of God. Talk to Mrs. Defoe, she'd say, all glory and praise goes to our Heavenly Father. We have to be reaching out in this area. So as we talk about the family portrait, once again, I want to look at the portrait marriage. First of all, the portrait marriage. Now look here in this passage of Scripture. I know what time it is. We'll move a little bit quicker and then we'll slow down here a little bit. But just bear with me for here a moment. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse number 21. Watch what it says. The Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman. Now this is a true story. This is a real historical account of what happened. This is contrary to evolution. We did not get here by billions of years and a little cell and then a little fish became a gorilla or a monkey and then we're here. This is a historical account. This is how you and I came to where we are at today. If you believe in creation, say amen. It's important. And the rib there that God took it out of the man, he made woman and brought her unto the man. Verse number 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be of one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Here we have the first mention really of family. The family. As the world tries to set a definition on the marriage relationship, the Word of God has already done it for you and I. That means this. Watch it very carefully. As the world continues to redefine everything, we used to just simply have, I mean, even as far as, 10 years ago, we used to have male and we used to have female. Now it's up to 50-some different acronyms or names that we're going to use to define what people are. And we just think, wow, we've really evolved. When really we could just go back to the book of Genesis and comprehend that the definition has already been been set for us. But watch this very careful. When we look at the law first mentioned, or when we look at the Word of God, and we begin to get a definition, and or watch out, a foundation for something, you can almost always mark it down that Satan is going to attack what God has set as, this is the foundation. This is what you build on. This is right. This is good. This is holy. This is pure. Whatever God sets down, you can almost mark it down that Satan is going to begin to attack what God has set up. Therefore, we begin to look at how Satan is attacking the marriage, the home today, this family. First of all, we saw that marriage is between saved and lost people. How is Satan doing it? He's going to try to take marriages of lost and saved people and put them together. Oftentimes in the Word of God, we use a verse that is over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Understand, watch now. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Friend, what God is about, or excuse me, what the Word of God begins to set for us is this kind of foundation that you ought to be very careful. And again, look, every college student and every senior you're in high school, or maybe you just graduated, you're heading into your freshman year, comprehend this very carefully. When you go off to Bible college, or whether you go here to a community college, or you work in this area, as you become to that age where you're starting to date someone, I don't think we use the word court anymore, but if that's your family thing, then go with it. But as you begin to date someone, comprehend this, you ought to be vitally or very, very careful in that you do not start to date someone who is not saved. Be very careful. I'm not going to go into it because I already said it. And I'm just going to put this out there. Here's a little asterisk. I want you to put this in there. Every case is different. And there might be somebody in this church tonight that you've been with someone and you're growing and the Lord's working, or you're watching via live stream this evening and you've been with someone for 5 years and you're kind of tuned in and you're thinking, well, I just got to understand. You need to come and have a discussion with one of the pastoral staff. Let us walk you through biblically what the Word of God says. But what I'm generally talking about this evening is that we have a lot of students here that have grown up in public school or homeschooled, or right here at Cross Point Baptist, said that you've grown up and you know what's right. Now, here's what's right. That means this. You may feel sorry for a person and you may think that person will change if you get married. I'm just telling you this. They will not. Be careful. Be careful. We have seen it over and over. Carrie, have we not? How many times have we seen absolute disaster from someone who got it in their mind that they could date this guy or they could date this girl, and they don't align up with the Word of God. They barely call themselves a Christian. Most likely they're not a Christian at all. They have no interest in God, no interest in church, no interest in that person obeying their parents. And yet they kind of brought it on like, well, you know, this is kind of my I'm really going to help them. And I'm just here to tell you, friend, absolutely reach out and get them in church and get them around good people. Let them hang out with people like Coach Yider or Coach Shell or other men that, hey, they could be around. But I'm just here to tell you, do not marry that person thinking that, hey, if we get married, they're going to change. Friend, you are heading for a train wreck. You're going against the very Word of God. You are going to break your parents' and your grandparents' heart. Friend, as a pastor who loves you, just don't do it. Just don't do it. But another reason that we are, another way we see that Satan is attacking is this. Marriages between saved and lost, but also immorality. Adultery and fornication attacks the marriage unit. Immoral relations outside of the marriage bond is not only destructive, but it is terribly sinful. Listen what the Word of God says. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Don't you now? Listen now. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that which he has joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth without his body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. The Proverbs 6:32 says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. We can even go back to the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm here to tell you, friend, you married her, ladies, you married him, and if you're in this room tonight and you're married, you said I do before God, you put that ring on a finger, friend, you stay committed. If there was ever a day and age where we are seeing where Satan is attacking the home, it's here, it's in this area. I know there's kids in here, so I'm being careful, but friend, I'm here to tell you, immorality is sneaking in the home, and I'm telling you, we talked about it last week, and we're going to really dive into it here in a couple weeks, but friend, how he is doing it is this. He's opening up the mind by using pornography of the day to attack our young people, to attack our husbands, to attack our wives, to attack our college students. Friends, it is destroying the mind of Christians today. And the sad thing is, people don't want to talk about it. But parents, we cannot stop talking about the subject. Satan through YouTube, Satan through TikTok, Satan through Instagram, Satan through Facebook is throwing images in your kids and your faces every single day. And friend, you had better be careful, because you can hide it and you can erase the history and you can put a lock on your phone and you can think everything's fine and dandy and whoo-hoo-hoo, I got away with it again. But friend, let me put it this way. Be sure your sin will find you out. He knows. He knows every thought you and I just thought right now. He knows everything we've looked at this past week. Gentlemen, ladies, if I begin to, and I will here soon, begin to read some statistics on the way that Satan is attacking our mind, it might even blow you away, but it at least will shock you at a subject that Christians are hiding from today. And it is destroying our homes. Baptists are more worried about who's wearing a tie in the pulpit and who is not. Meanwhile, Satan is sneaking in. We're losing our teenagers. We're losing our college students. We have more missionaries coming off the field than we have going on the field. We have pulpits being by the hundreds, if not thousands, vacant in the United States of America. And how is Satan doing this? He is attacking the home and the mind. And here's where they're like, well, it's kind of taboo and it's kind of uncomfortable. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, our kids are talking about it. They're talking about it. I don't care if it's homeschool or Christian school or public school. They're finding out from their friends. It is high time as parents we got in front of this thing. It is high time as adults and as husbands and as wives we start communicating and we start reaching out and we start helping, because friend, would to God we would have more Christians being married for 57 years than 57 weeks. And well, that's it. Well, we're calling it quits. Well, they cheated. Well, they're out of the home. Friend, I'm here to tell you, I just get worked up talking about it. I am sick and tired of the day and age we live that we don't have preachers from behind the pulpits talking about it. We don't have parents addressing it. We have adults just well calling it quits, and they're too embarrassed to talk to anybody. Friend, don't you be too embarrassed to talk about it. Satan is after your home. He's after your family. He's after your marriage. He's after your mind. It's high time as Christians we start talking about it. High time. We cannot quit, friend. We cannot stop. Let me tell you something. Gavin's standing over here. Gavin, come here real quick. Gavin is, you're 16. Are you 16 now? You're 16 years old. He's 15. When did you turn 16? Yeah? That had to be recent. Nay. Gavin, I don't think you mind sharing this thing. Okay. Do you even know what I'm going to say? Okay. I say something, Gavin. I mean, you're getting taller too. Gavin is 16 years old now. Gavin is praying about and believes that he kind of has a call to ministry in his heart and his mind. And let me tell you something. By him sharing that with Pastor and with his parents, Satan is going to be after this man. Gavin, as someone who dearly loves you, you have got to control your mind and your heart
And you have to be a leader. You have to step up. Pastor, that's too much to put on a 16-year-old. Friend, I'm here to tell you, in a wimpy world we live in, it is high time as Christians, we started commissioning, we started encouraging men like this to take a stand. They used to be in the foxholes at this age. Now, well, we got to be careful with this feeling. That, well, I'm just here to tell you, Satan is not willing or just wanting to play with you, Gavin. He's ready to sift you as wheat. He wants to destroy you. Gavin, we need you in this fight. We got to have you. Every adult here ought to take a name like Gavin and write it down and pray for men like this. Pray for them. Pray for women like Celeste that gets up here and begins to play these instruments and is just wonderful and just incredibly talented. So let's stand up here just a second. It's Celeste, right? Am I saying that right? Yes. What is it? Celestra? Celeste? Cecily? What? Help me out, Pastor Chris. Cecily? I'm usually pretty good with names, so I'm off a game tonight. Cecily? I'm so close, Celeste. Cecily? Cecily? Why are y'all laughing at me? Am I just saying it wrong? Say it out loud. Cecily. That girl right there? Understand, y'all be praying for her. As much as we laugh around at Pastor Shepherd, hold on one second, again. Forgetting names. Can I just tell you something, friend? This is who our world is after right here. Satan hates that she's being brought up in the Hughes family and is being brought up in the Word of God and being brought up to play the piano and serve God. Can I just tell you, Brother Gary? He wants to destroy her, and Satan hates her. He's not playing around with her. He's not a little kitty cat. He's a roaring lion. And adults, what we're going to bring out week after week after week is this. This is who we have to be praying for. This is the next generation. This is it. Well, I am so glad we got the DeFoes here. I'm glad we got the DeFoes here year two. 57 years of marriage. Man, praise the Lord for that. But can I just tell you, the DeFoes are in the fourth quarter of their life, and they don't mind me saying that at all. They've had their ministry. They've pastored. They've preached. They've counseled for thousands of hours. Pastor Shepherd, there are many who say, well, the millennials, they're the next leaders. Friend, I'm just going to say, they are not the next leaders. They are the leaders. They're the pastors. We're sending kids to college now. Can I put it this way? This, friend, is the next generation. And I think it's this generation and this generation that can say, you know what? Enough is enough. We're not going to be put in a category where one out of two marriages are breaking up. We're not going to be in this category, this statistic where 44-45% of our kids are being brought up or raised in a home without a mom and a dad. I believe that it's this generation that's going to say, enough to immorality, enough to pornography, enough to broken homes. It's this generation that's going to take a stand and carry the cause of Jesus Christ further than you and I could ever imagine. If you believe that, say amen. That's a lot to believe. Thank you so much, Gavin. Sure love you, and I am praying for you. Man, it's immorality. Well, I want you to write this down, saved and lost, but then we also see immorality. Would you write this down? Number three, and parents, I know sometimes when I say this, you might get a little bit nervous, but I don't want you to this evening. I've been pastoring for some time, and I'll be very careful, but we have to hear this. Number three, it's homosexuality. As we head in the month of June, on my phone, which I cannot get rid of, on my phone, when I opened it up on June 1st, in my calendar, which is set by Apple, I put on there that I want all U.S. holidays to show on my phone. Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas. There's even a lot of, you know, Hanukkah and a lot of Muslim holidays in there now, and if you notice that. But if you open up your phone on June 1st that you cannot get rid of, here's what it says. First day of LGBTQ plus Pride Month. We take one day and talk about our moms. One day a year, moms, that's all you get. Mother's Day. Woo, we're so thankful for you, moms. Thank you for investing time. Thank you for carrying us for 9 months. Thank you for feeding us. Thank you for putting all of you did into us for 18 years until we had to college. And then after that, emotionally there for us. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Mom. There you go. You get one day. It's amazing. In our nation now, excuse me, a nation where our motto is one nation under God, we are going to take a full month and parade sin in our streets and act like this is a nation that exalts God, and boy, we're for God, when in our very phones now, we have to look at and take an entire month looking at the homosexual, gay, lesbian lifestyle and clap for it like, woo, I'm done. How great is our nation? Friend, righteousness exalted the nation, and the longer that you and I are stepping back and we're okay with, and let's tiptoe around, and let's not talk about, friend, I'm just here to tell you, the more you and I do that, we are going to hear the trump sound, because the local church and the pastors in the pulpits are no longer preaching against what thus saith the Lord. No preaching, no more preaching against what God calls sin. And friend, I am telling you, what is destroying our nation, what is destroying our young people, what is destroying the homes of today is this okayness with the sin of homosexuality. It defies God. It's an attack on the proper place of America. Of marriage. Now think about this. The more we hear about this, we really feel like that, boy, just it has to be like one out of two nowadays, young people in college, one out of two has to be homosexual. I mean, it can't be that many heterosexuals anymore because of what is shoved down in our face all the time. It's got to be. But think about this. Listen, and I quote, I'm reading from, America's Right. Listen to this. In America, we believe that one in four adults lean this way. This is simply not true. A new Gallup poll found that this was highly overestimated. But this is the media's agenda. In 2017, it is estimated that 4.5% of Americans are LGBT. Based on respondent self-identification as being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. Understand this. We think because of media and because of shows and because of Amazon Prime and Hulu and because of Netflix and because of all the shows that they put out, including even now the Disney Channel on Disney Plus, which has several shows that is basically a young person coming out of the closet and how to do it correctly and how to tell your friends and how you can parade it around and be so excited about it. Excuse me. Because all of this is moving against us, we think, my goodness, I mean, it's got to be 50%, right? No, can you imagine that just 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, it's estimated that really only 4.5% really even have the mindset of that's who I am. So how or why is it so big in our country? I'll tell you why. Satan. Simply put, it's the devil. We read about Sodom and Gomorrah. We know how God feels about it. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that which is commit such things is worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You say, Pastor, what is this talking about? Here's what it's talking about. It says just two verses or three verses before, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust towards one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was me. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Excuse me, friend, we read over and over in the Word of God that homosexuality, think about this now, friend, it goes and defies what God has set up. Remember now, Genesis chapter 2, a platform of a man and a woman coming together. It works works. It was the first commission or the first thing that God gave to this couple is to go and to fill the earth and to replenish it and to go out fruitful. And understand, I know I'm being careful because the kids are here again. But friend, let me say this. When you look at the homosexual agenda, it does not work that way. In fact, it's an abomination. We ought not. Now listen, friend. You say, Pastor, I get uncomfortable because of our kids that are in here. Friend, can I just say this? If we don't talk about it here, they really are. They're getting it everywhere. Everywhere. I was brought up and I was homeschooled. My wife and I both homeschooled all 12 years. Can I just say, friend? Look, we know how it works. We went to a small Bible college, went to a small church. I just said, kids talk. Friends, today, the agenda of the left, the agenda of Hollywood is to shove this in our kids' faces and act like it's okay. And if we don't start preaching what thus saith the Lord, they're going to get the mindset that it is okay. Karen, when we were in Ohio, that had to be last month, we did the youth rally together, and Karen and I both preached, several hundred teenagers there, and they did a question and answer, and Karen and I went up on the stage. I don't know, about 300 teenagers or so were there. 12 or 13, 14 different churches in Ohio came together, and Karen and I are up on the stage. We both have microphones, and they began to read these questions that came in. You can text your questions, we'll get them, and there was a pastor there, and he's asking Karen and I a question. Listen to this very carefully. The number one question that teenagers were asking was about this very subject. My friend is gay. What do I do? How many times, Carrie, was the question asked, can I be gay and be saved? Can I be a lesbian and be saved? Friend, here's how we answer that question. Think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Just think for a moment. He took a crown of thorns. He took a cat of nine tails to his back and was whipped. He carried a cross through the streets embarrassed. He's hung on a cross, humiliated, beard plucked from his face. He took the nails for you and I in his hands and his feet. He hung up there and suffocated from his own body weight over and over and over. And why did he do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Excuse me, the question is not, can I be gay and be saved? The question is this, why would you want to be in sin and thinking about what God has done? Why would you want to be saved and live in a sinful lifestyle that defies what God did for you and I in shedding his blood, excuse me, friend, to forgive us of all sin? Homosexuality is a sin. Can it be forgiven? Without a doubt. Well, I was born this way. Excuse me, friend. We're born with the sin nature. We choose to do right or we choose to do wrong. It's a sorry, excuse me, friend. I'm just going to say it. It's a sorry excuse for us to say, well, I was born this way. I was just born into a family that was mean. Well, get over it and be kind. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, God forgives. Well, I was just born in a family that we really hold on to bitterness. Excuse me, friend. Bitterness is the sin of all. Is the root of bitterness is the sin of witchcraft. Excuse me, friend. We were born this way. No. And look, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the day and age that we live, we have got to keep pumping into our kids that this is right. Man, woman, man, woman, man, woman. If you get outside of that, friend, it defies God, period. We're not okay with it. Now look, this is just my pastor's heart tonight. I'm going to go a little bit over time. Just give me that. If you got to slip out, slip out, but please be real quiet. But I'm going to go a little bit over time, so just listen for just a moment. So does that mean that we go down to the street corner, Pastor Chris, and we start spitting and yelling at all the homosexuals going into a bar that's gay, and we start throwing stones and bottles, and oh, bless God, you're going to go to hell, and you reprobate. No. No. What do? We win them to the Lord. So, Pastor, that means that my coworker who is gay or lesbian, I can invite them to Cross Point Baptist Church? Yes. Of course. Absolutely. But we will not water down sin. Sin is sin. I will not back away from preaching what is sin. Well, somebody in our church is kind of prideful. Can you not preach on pride tonight? No, if God puts it in there, I'm just going to go ahead and keep preaching. Well, I know they have a real problem with drinking. Guess what, friend? You know what that person who walks in those back doors, and maybe they got a little liquor on their breath, and maybe they're kind of, maybe a little bit tipsy. You know what they need to hear? Not that, well, you know, we just won't talk about liquor tonight. You know what they need to hear? That God is a God that can help them overcome whatever liquor or sin problem that they have in their life. If you believe that, say amen. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You and I are more than conquerors. Therefore, I believe without a doubt, someone comes in and they have a problem with being gay or they have a problem with being lesbian. Friend, it's just like any other sin. God can help that person overcome it. And I would much rather them walk in those back doors and have a family that's going to love them and nourish them and help them and disciple them overcome this sin that is in their life than to head out into the world where everybody's plotting and everybody's okay with the gay lifestyle that, once again, friend, I don't care if they take a month or a year to parade in the streets this gay pride month. Let me tell you something, friend. Sin is not something that you and I ought to be proud of, period. I know that's a little bit strong preaching, but you know what? Sometimes as families, we need to hear it. I said it several Wednesday nights ago, and I was very careful. I was, Coach. I was careful about it. But you know something, friend, again, I really believe in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches, we're going to have teenagers that grew up going to camp, grew up on Wednesday nights, grew up around it, and they're going to come in, and they're at one time or another, we may see it right here at Cross Point Baptist, and say, you know what, I kind of have this temptation, and I really think I'm gay. Yeah, I know it. So-and-so, we just knew they leaned that way, so, yeah, we knew it. No, you know what we ought to do? Hit our knees and begin to pray for that young person. Hit our knees and begin to pray. Hit our knees and pray and help each other. God forbid it be a time that, well, they're down, and let's just kick a mother down. I'm telling you, friend. Pastor Foe, you and I, we've even talked about it. We're tired of the generation of Christians that when somebody's down and somebody's out, somebody's in sin, that's the moment we come in and begin to kick them. Yeah, we knew it was going to happen. Well, if you'd have been a better parent, well, if you would have talked about, I knew you shouldn't have had TV. I knew you should have gone and saw that movie. I knew you should. I knew. And we kick them while they're down. Excuse me, friend. There is such a thing as restoration in the Word of God. And God forbid we ever get away from the help and the love and the care that the very family of God ought to have for each other, because the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, not by kicking each other while they're down, not by, well, look at me, look how great I am, look at the friends that I have, and look at the family that I've raised. No, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another, period, friend. But watch this. Homosexuality, but also divorce. It's a terrible plague that has spread across the world, and especially in the Christian home. One in two marriages are ending in divorce. Now, friend, I'm very careful this evening. I'm getting to know you as a pastor, and you know my heart. If you've been divorced, you're not a second-class citizen, and you're not looked down upon. If somebody ever comes and begins to treat you like that, you know what? Honestly, shame on them. Just keep moving forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. If you're in here tonight and you've been divorced and you've been remarried, then stay married and move on for the cause of Jesus Christ and just serve Him. But teenager, look up here for just a second. Teenager, I want to address you. Now listen, college students, you got to tune in. The moment that you say, I do, the moment that you put, I tried and I got it, yes, oh, almost, I got my ring off. The other day I couldn't get off. The moment that you say I do and the moment that you put this ring on her finger or on his finger, can I tell you, at that moment, Satan will not stop until you take it off and put it on the night shelf and call it quit. He will not stop. Gavin? Austin? Maddie? Aaron? Cole? Celeste? No, what's wrong with me? Cecily? Cecily. I'm so sorry, Cecily. Hello. Why is your parents name you Cecily anyways? It's the hardest thing to remember. Cecily. Austin. Bryce, got a wedding coming up here. Is okay, cause you, Brother Brian, you've got a daughter getting married this Saturday. There's your look right here for just a second. Watch. You say I do. You put a ring on my finger. You do everything in your power to stay married. Paige, understand this. Jordan, you may at some point run into some trouble in your marriage. Excuse me, friends, you ready for this? Don't you stop. Adults in this room tonight, are you in trouble in your marriage? Don't you be so proud and prideful that you won't stop in a pastor's office and begin to share, we're going through some tough times. How many times, Kim, have we seen, where finally when a family unit comes in to get help, by that time, it really, I would say it's a huge percentage, it's too late. It's too late. Carrie and I ever get into trouble, I'm just telling you, friend, in the 6 months I've gotten to know you, I know that there are men and women in my life that I could go to just like that. Pastor Gerald, I know that they'd reach out and they would say, I'll help you. God forbid we ever care get so prideful in our marriage. And don't take this wrong. Our marriage is really great right now. 15 years and 5 kids, and we're done with 5 kids. I promise you that. But still, nonetheless, we got a family. We love our family unit. We love our kids, and God's good. But, Karen, we can never get to a place where we're so prideful that we don't go get the help that we need. Well, what are people going to think? And you're a pastor, and you're supposed to have it all together. I understand that, friend. But I'm just telling you, there are many pastors. How many, Pastor Chris, do we know pastors that have lost their kids? They lost their kids' heart. They lost their marriage. Why? Because of pride that snuck in, and we don't want anybody to know. And, boy, what if the Garys finds out that we're having problems? And by that time, it is too late, and they destroyed their ministry. Why? Because they wouldn't get the help that they need. Gentlemen, look at right up here. All guys, look up here for just a moment. You struggle in your marriage right now? Do not get out of church. Amen. It's the biggest mistake we make. Well, I'll take a vacation or a church, try to get things right. That, I don't think we're allowed to say stupid in the pulpit, but that's really foolish. It's just honestly, I don't even get that thinking. Well, I got cancer now. I got to really stay away from the doctor. Whew. Got to really keep away from the pills. And God forbid I get chemo. I mean, how foolish is that? We're going to stay away from the great physician when there's something wrong on the inside. And friend, it is amazing in the day and age that we live where we teach from the Word of God that you can't be divorced and be a deacon. And it is in many Baptist churches, this is the truth, Pastor, that there are many churches that can't even fill their deacon committee. Why? Because the sin of divorce has snuck in and it's destroying our homes today. Grandpa Clayton, this is Carrie's grandfather. I never forget the night before I married Carrie. I don't even know how old Gramps was at that time, but he's an evangelist. How old is he now? He's 89 years old. Wow, I'm going so late. I'm so sorry, but don't worry about it. Grandpa Clayton, the night before, he's 89. Is that correct? He's 89, still an evangelist, still preaching around. He's going to the Philippines here coming up in January. It's amazing. He sat down the night before we got married, and here's what he said. I wrote it down. He said, Thomas, stay right with God, your wife, and the bank. That's it. I said, Gramps, is there anything else? No. You stay right with God. You stay right with your wife. And you stay right with the bank. Friend, I sure wish we had more old timers out there that were just, well, giving us advice like the Defoes. You're going to hit some troubled times. You stay with it. Now, lastly, don't shut your Bibles and I'm done. I promise you. Joe, I know you're visiting from Texas. I don't usually preach this long, but it feels good tonight. I like it. So I'm not going to keep this. Is not going to be an every week thing. But thank you, George. I appreciate that. Now, listen, we're done here, right here. This is it. The last place that Satan, and we're going to go into detail on this a little bit later on, but the last place is Hollywood. Now, we're going to dig into this, but we've truly become so desensitized towards evil that Hollywood is in our homes and it's destroying it. In 1939, Gone with the Wind was fined $85,000 by Hollywood for for having one cuss word at the end of their movie. Probably many old-timers in here still remember the scene. They were fined by Hollywood, 1939. You can't say that word for our families. This is lost world. You can't say that word. You're going to be fined $85,000. Red Butler there gave that word, and that was the start. In 2013, The Wolf of Wall Street movie came out. The Wolf of Wall Street, and again, I'll be very careful, but had 528 F-words. The word Jesus Christ was used 70 times. This does not include the 200 cuss words, the 57 scenes of nudity, and 3 violent scenes in the movie total. Do you understand where we start and where it goes? And the Christian living today walks in and watches it. And wow, everybody else, go see this movie. It's amazing. It's great. Can I just tell you, Hollywood is not for the home. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Hollywood makes fun of and mocks the institution of marriage. It makes marriage look hard and raising kids impossible, and one-night stands look like fun. Meanwhile, abortions grow every year. Transmitted diseases are out of control. The roaring lion is out to destroy. And how's he doing it? He's doing it by the all-American Christian family inviting it right into their homes or right into their iPad or computer and or their phone. Once again tonight, family, it's time we take a stand. It's time to suit up, men, ladies, single moms, single dads. Whoever you are tonight, it's time we suit up. Gavin, it's time to put on the armor. We're going to war, friend. And the enemy's not playing around. He's out to destroy. Where do we start, Brother Jim? On our knees. Calling out to the God who said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Friend, it's time to get out the old sword, the Word of God. And it's time that we realize that family matters. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around.